Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. I want to start off, I know this kind of out of order for us, but I wanted to start off with, I'm not going to do a full review because I lose my man card if I do a full review of Beyonce's HBO special Lemonade. But I just want to say I hope and pray that Jay-Z, maybe I won't pray on it, but I hope that Jay-Z got to review it before it came out, because if not, he was sitting there Saturday night with his shades drawn and with his phone off and everything. He was in hiding. Because she went in on him. And let me tell you, and the only reason I want to bring this up, because I want to show you the ignorance of society and the ignorance of autocorrect and what it can do for you. Because apparently, obviously, you know, they had issues where Jay-Z apparently cheated on her with a lady in the fashion industry whose name is Rachel Roy. All night Saturday and just about all day Sunday, if you go to Rachel Ray's, the famous chef's, if you go to her Instagram page, fans and hecklers of Beyonce are going in on her.
On the cook. I don't even know
who Jay-Z is. I don't know how Jay-Z can get all these women, truth be told.
So I've come to the conclusion that he is very charming.
He must be.
I was always interested in like how he got her attention. So I've come to the conclusion that he's very charming.
He must got something going for him. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that whole Lemonade thing up because of the fact of the autocorrectness of the search engines. That got all these people messed up and confused.
And Rachel Ray is somewhere like, please somebody stop this and tell these people it's not me.
But moving on to more relevant topics, the NFL. Today it was announced that Tom Brady's 4-game suspension has been reinstated by the U.S. Appeals Court. So the NFL now will have to decide on whether they're going to keep the enforcement of the penalty, the 4-game suspension, or will they be open to another settlement?
Interesting.
Yeah, so as far as the Patriots are concerned, Jimmy Garoppolo is the only other quarterback on their roster at this time. So I beg, I have to ask the Gator fan in you, does this mean that Tebow time might make a return to New England?
No, Tebow is trying to run for some state senate seat down in Florida.
I know. I can always hope.
He's giving up on football and going into politics.
As far as the suspension being reinstated, I mean, what does that really do? I mean, he got to play his game last year.
It's a delay.
And I'm looking at the schedule they play. I think they're at Arizona to open the season. Then they go Miami, Houston, and I can't remember the fourth game, but it was another game that they could possibly win. I can see them struggling at Arizona. Arizona's got a really good defense. Can see Garoppolo struggling there. And I'm just hypothetically saying if Tom Brady is not available for those first four games. I could see them going 3-1 and giving a big middle finger to the NFL and that suspension that they won back.
on what the point is. I would just be like, okay, let's move on. They already lost their picks. Let's move on. But, you know, I ain't no telling what. I would move on from it, but we'll see.
Let's see. The NBA playoffs. Last night we had game four between the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry injures his knee. It comes out today, and it happened right before halftime. A player, I'm not even going to pretend I can say Monta Ellis' name. I'm not even going to pretend to say his whole name. But a player for the Rockets slipped and fell right in front of Steph, and as he's running down the floor, and he runs the same path, slips on the wet floor, hurts his knee right before halftime. Comes out today, MRI has revealed it's a grade one sprain, and Curry will miss up to 2 weeks.
This is the problem.
Go ahead.
Because when I saw the wet spot, I was like, now why is that floor that wet right there when he slid? I was like, why is that wet? Good to know that he fell. I guess, though, the towel boys and stuff can't go out on the court until it's a stop in the action.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's bad. That's a bad way to get hurt.
It's just unfortunate.
Like the tad pad leaking. Oh, I'm sorry.
Right. No. It's just unfortunate for him because, I mean, obviously he was coming back to play game four to basically test out his ankle, which his ankle seemed to be fine. And now all of a sudden, I just hope that he doesn't try to come back from this too quick and we have another Grant Hill situation.
I don't think that Curry's going to let that happen because you saw how he held him out even with the ankle. You know he's not about to let him. Like, in 2 weeks, what, they would have to win without him to get to the Clippers. At least the game, what, 2 or 3 or something?
And right now, yes, I anticipate them playing the Clippers in the next round, but if I were Golden State, I would be the biggest Portland Trailblazer fan in the world to try to keep them extending that series.
Right. So
that gives them extra break. Because they're going to close out the Rockets with or without him. They're going to close the Rockets out. The Rockets have folded in the tent, and I think they're pretty much done. But
yeah, they need that series. They need Portland to tie that up at 2-2. So that it has to go to 7. Then they'll have. They still probably play the first 2 games or 3 without him, though.
Yeah, it's a definite possibility.
San Antonio is happy.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought them up because that was my next question. Are they now the new favorite in the Western Conference with Curry's situation up in the air?
Yeah, easy.
Old Man River turned 40 today. Happy birthday, Tim Duncan.
Timothy. Yes, they are in favorites now. I mean, I don't even, honestly, I'm not a Clipper fan, as we know.
None at all.
Okay, so the Clippers,
the Spurs.
I'm not a Clipper fan, like I was about to say. I'm not a Clipper fan, which we can just go to that. I'm not a Clipper fan. And Golden State might have trouble getting past the Clippers.
Yeah, especially with that being a rivalry like it is.
Even though they're going to have home court advantage, one or two things. We're going to see, I hope that fan that tweeted me or texted us or Facebooked us and said that Mr. Thompson wasn't a fool's gold.
Right.
Because we're going to see if he fool's gold or not because it's his time to shine because there's no curve.
Yeah.
So we're gonna see if he the man, if he can be the man. He ain't even gotta be the man for a whole year. He just gotta help them win a couple of games.
And he has not been shooting well during the playoffs.
Who's gold, that's how it go.
Switch it over to the Eastern Conference. Cleveland's big three, looking really good for the Cavaliers. Out of the teams left in the East, who do you think has the best chance to challenge them for the Eastern Conference?
Well, I'm going to tell you, they don't want to play Boston just because Boston is gritty and nasty.
Yep.
And if that guy come back from the hamstring, like, they struggled with them. I mean, they beat them, but it was like a challenge last year. Yeah, they don't. I don't think they want to play Boston. I mean, I see them winning the series if they played them, but it would be so. You know, it would be so much of a drain on them.
I think Brad Stevens, the coach of the Celtics, is probably the best coach in the NBA right now.
Whoa, yeah. Nelly! Whoa, that's blasphemy. How you just gonna treat Popovich like?
Let me retract and say best coach in the Eastern Conference.
Okay, because I was trying to push him out the way this bus is about to run.
Yes, let me retract my statement. I apologize to Greg Popovich.
So I
think with him and just the cast of characters like that they have, you say they're grit, like you said, they're gritty and they, you know, they're hard nosed. I think they could give them the best challenge, and that's who they would face if the Celtics are to get by the Hawks. That's who they would face in the second round.
And I really think Boston, they just got to steal one. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to go home and play well. But down on the bottom, Miami,
if they had Chris Bosh, I would give them more of a chance.
Yeah, and if Ibs was Phelps, we'd all be drunk. Bosh and his blood clots, he need to go sit down somewhere because we do not need another documentary about some athlete that wouldn't stop playing that wind up like having some cardiac arrest or something on the court because one of these clots don't rush too hard.
The producers of 30 for 30 would be happy. But
they would, but I wouldn't. And so I will, and his wife probably should just be somewhere saying, "Yes, did you listen to the Mac and T show today?"
Right.
Please listen to what T was saying. We are millionaires. We can live the rest of our lives if we manage this money correctly. And you can go be a TV analyst or something. I don't know how well spoken he is.
Right.
Go sit down somewhere.
In other NBA news, more relevant to you. Late last night, late last night, the word came down that the Lakers, Los Angeles Lakers, will be relieving Byron Scott of his duties.
Who didn't see that coming? He had the worst record in our franchise history.
He right now has the worst winning percentage as a coach in NBA history. And that has a lot to do with his stints in Cleveland after LeBron left. And Los Angeles, obviously, the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah. He's not a good coach. He may want to be an assistant somewhere if somebody hired him on. I don't know if he'll be a good assistant either.
I'm not going to go so far as to say he's not a good coach. I think he's not a good coach when you have a team full of young kids that he has to develop.
Let's rewind. So, when he was having success with the Nets, who was running that team?
Jason Kidd.
Thank you. He's not a good coach.
He had success with the Hornets, but...
What, 1 year or something?
They had some good... Well, they couldn't keep Baron Davis healthy, but that's another story entirely.
You know what? That 1 year is not sufficing for these 10 to even know.
Yes.
I mean, they look bad. I mean, okay, not that it's ever a good way to lose, but they don't have any cohesion. There's not, like... They look like they didn't know what they were running. You got, you know, 10 people on the bench. You got, I don't know what my role is.
Right.
That should never be the case for some player to say, I really don't know what I can do to help the team. Like, even Coach Ross, like, you know what your role is. All right, this is your role. Now, I don't know if she did that every year, but there were times that she had that conversation. Like, this is your role.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to do this, this, that, and the other. So, and then I heard Tracy McGrady said that one of the things that he liked about, I want to say it was, maybe it was Van Gundy. I don't know if it was Van Gundy.
I know who you're talking about. Jeff Van Gundy when he was in Houston. I heard him say that.
He liked the fact that not only did he tell them their role at the beginning, but he would periodically...
Yeah, throughout the season, remind them,
look, bro,
mm-hmm.
don't get too big. You don't have this 30-point game. We still not. You're not to stop. This is your role. So I think he didn't do a good job of that. And then with the Kobe mess, you know, the end of the, let's bring a rocket chair out here for him. And
Mamba out.
Kudos. that didn't help his situation any. But I don't think he's a good coach. And I didn't think that at first. I thought he was a decent coach. But even as bad as they were, they just didn't even, half the time I couldn't tell. It's like, what are they running? Like, what are y'all looking for? Mm-hmm. Like, who is the go-to man? Kobe ain't. Like, so,
Well, regardless, whatever you want to say, this leaves your Lakers looking for their sixth head coach since
2011. Well, six. We had Brown, DeAntoni, and then him. How is that six? Am I missing another coach? We had Brown. Everybody wanted Phil. They got rid of him and brought in DeAntoni. Then DeAntoni left, and Bickerstaff, I don't count him because he was just an interim until.
You gotta count the interims count.
No, was it anybody between Bickerstaff and him?
There was one other one. It's escaping me at this point. I can't remember who. I'm counting somebody twice.
They don't have too many, and so either way, we just hope they make a good decision. First thing that needs to happen now after Byron has been relieved of his duties, we need to relieve Jim Buss of his duties. So that's the next thing I'm looking for coming down the pipe. Yeah. And if it's not, then I'm going to be sad.
Now we'll see if Jeannie Buss has the guts enough to let go of her brother.
I don't think she does, but we'll see.
Before we go to break, I know this next segment, where are they now? You and I go through this all the time off air. Even before we did the podcast, we would always have a where are they now segment if we heard of someone we ain't heard from in a while, what happened to them, you know. So I wanted to integrate this, and I sent you the audio last week to let you listen to it. Latrell Sprewell, former NBA superstar who fell on a lot of hard times, lost just about every.
Because I can't feed my kids with $4 million.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I can't feed my family. I'm sorry.
Yeah, most famously, he is famous for two really big moments. He choked out his head coach, PJ Carlesimo, when he was a member of the Golden State Warriors. And the other thing he is most famous for, if you were just saying, he turned down a $30 million contract and was insulted by the $30 million and stated he has to be able to feed his family.
Right.
As I heard, he did an interview recently on another podcast I listened to called Heated Conversations with pro wrestler Booker T, retired pro wrestler Booker T. Sprewell has supposedly battled sobriety throughout all those years in the NBA and stated he is closing in on a decade of being sober. So good for him on that front.
Well, maybe he was drunk when he made that statement.
That's what we hope. We hope. He also mentioned that he is in the midst of working on doing some basketball camps and clinics with recently announced Hall of Fame inductee Allen Iverson. Never really came any concrete dates on that. They just said they were in the works. Other than his sobriety, when I listened to the interview, I thought to myself, okay, he really didn't give too much as well. Other than being sober for almost 10 years, there wasn't a whole lot more to this. He don't have any money. Wasn't a whole lot to this comeback story. I guess he got a little bit of money from that Priceline.com commercial that he did during the Super Bowl where he, you know, jokingly gave some very, very awful life advice to some kids. And I guess they gave him a little money for that, but I don't know.
This broke thing is real.
Yeah, it's real. And how it can be, because he made over $100 million in his lifetime.
Him and, what's Right, dude from Kentucky, and then he went to Boston, and then he played at Orlando.
Oh, Antoine Walker, yeah.
Like, how did you make $100 million? And not in your lifetime, but...
And not have a penny of it.
Yeah, and don't have $1 million somewhere that should have just been untouchable.
Right.
For such a time as this.
I don't know.
I'm not a financial... If you had to let me manage your money, so you would have $8,750,000 of your dollars.
Yeah, you would have something.
Like, bro, you're going to live like you are a middle-class citizen.
Right.
You don't need the three cars because you can't drive a one. I might give you a car and a truck. Other than that, nothing. Yeah. You don't need a 10-bedroom house because you can't sleep in but one.
Correct. Well, that's going to bring us to our first break. On the other side, we'll get into a little Empire talk and much more. But that is for the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show.
What time is it? What time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Empire, Season 2, Episode 14, Time Shall Unfold. We start off with Thirsty, as T calls him a pimp named Slickback, walking up on Lola, who is supposedly, you know, Raven Simone's character and Jamal's child, who later found out that it was Lucius's child. You know, that's how the storyline played out, but they said it a little different in this episode. It's almost like they forgot how they did that last season. But, you know, they played it like it was, quote-unquote, Jamal's child. But anyway, Thirsty walked up on her on the playground, and, you know, after making a little small talk, he snatches a piece of the hair, walks off. So, we later find out that the hair sample was for a DNA test, which proved that Lola is neither Jamal nor Lucius' child. Actually, the father of this little girl is some random guy named Marcus Jones. I don't know that that'll ever come back up again. Who knows?
You don't just got rid of this baby after we went through all that drama. Dude done got shot trying to hold up the family. Come on.
Right.
All
right,
go.
Well, Rhonda and Andre, as we found out last episode, are trying to work things out. Rhonda is right now staying at Anika Boo Boo Kitty's home. Rhonda and Andre discover, as they're talking about things, they discover that Anika in the bathroom throwing up, and it comes out that she's pregnant, and she tells them that it is Hakeem's child.
Oh, that
works. So then we flash over to the Empire shareholders, they're being treated to a little special event that shows Lucius's boom 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 video. Bunch of the shareholders ask Lucius, or basically tell him he needs to return and be the head of Empire, and he coyly denies interest, but clearly that's what his end game is about. Let's see. Cookie confronts Lucius about Frida Gatz, aka Frida Gathers, and voices her concerns about Frida being around her sons. Frida, as we flash over to the barbershop, Frida beats down a young man who sits in and refuses to move from a chair at the barbershop that is kind of like a memorial to her deceased father. They got pictures hanging of a Frank Gavis. Yeah. So they beat him down or whatever. Let's see. We flash to Thirsty driving a van leading a group of thugs into a robbery of the Anthony and Cleopatra clothing line that Hakeem was holding at Lion Dynasty headquarters. So basically, obviously, Lucius was involved in that. So he was Hakeem was holding these clothes at Lion Dynasty, which he knows Lucius has access to. Anyway, this causes Hakeem to go in and confront Lucius about the whole robbery. Hakeem, while he's confronting Lucius, gets a call from Laura, who tells them that their concert appearance has basically been sabotaged. The truck that was holding their equipment and instruments for the performers was pulled over by police with drugs on board. Obviously, Lucius had the drugs planted. Yeah, you know. So, this ain't looking good for Hakeem. We flash over to Cookie, who tells Jamal she got him a chance to work with Stacey Run Run, who is a Nicki Minaj-type rapper. But the catch is, she can be, Stacey that is, can be the only female rapper on the album. So he has to get rid of Frida, which Frida, you know, Frida seemingly understood, but obviously was still hurt by the whole ordeal. Because she just got let go from Lucius. I mean, come on. Lucius and Andre visit Lucius's, let me put in quotation, Lucius's mother's gravesite. I'm going to put in quotation. You'll find out later if you have not seen the episode why. But, so they're at the gravesite. Supposedly, Lucius' mother is buried. And Andre has a moment where he kind of speaks to his grandmother that he never met. They paint the camera pans to Lucius and he looking miserable and cold while Andre is talking. Lucius obviously always has an agenda. So after he gets done talking to his grandmother, his dead grandmother, Lucius asks him to, you know, kind of do him a little favor. We find out a little later on what it was, but let's see. We flash to Empire headquarters where Hakeem is being prepped for what he needs to say at the shareholders meeting when it comes to the clothing line delay, the canceled concerts, the Swish Stream app issues. Yes, it's a mess going on right now with Empire. Let's see. The family is gathered together by Andre and Rhonda where they bring out Anika, who announces that she's pregnant, and it's Hakeem's. Anika tells them she wants nothing more than for her child to have a family. Doesn't want no money, blah, blah, blah. All that's good stuff. A little later on, we flash to Lucius, who has made an unannounced visit slash break-in to Anika's house. As she walks in and sees him sitting on the couch, Lucius offers Anika $10 million to have the baby, give it to Hakeem, and just basically peace out. Just go. Anika turns him down, basically threatens him by saying she never, you know, when the feds were coming after him, she never dimed him out when they were doing their investigation of him. He asked her, basically, what could you possibly know about me that would be any use to the feds? And she says, I was with you for 5 years. I saw and heard a lot. We flash over. Right. We pop over to the shareholders meeting being held at Leviticus. Hakeem is somewhat blindsided by questions from Lucius, who's acting like, you know, he's just some random person there asking questions. Clearly, everybody knows who he is. But he asks him a bunch of different questions. Hakeem does a good job of handling himself, until it gets to a point where he shows a little vulnerability by not being able to give boom, boom, hard, concrete answers as to why the delays and the cancellations have been happening. You know, what's going on. He even asked him, he brought up the Swish Stream issues, which is, you know, the downloading service, the music service that they own now. Brought up those issues, and Lucius kind of coyly looks over at Andre, so that leads you to believe Andre gave him that information, because he's over that right now. Let's see. Keem is later voted out as CEO by the board, which I didn't know you could just randomly do like that.
Now the board can do a lot. They voted Lucius out like that.
Yeah. Let's see. We flash over to the studio. Jamal learns that Stacey Run Run is on a promo tour in Tokyo, Japan, but she sent in her part of the track for him to record with. He tries to do his part, really isn't feeling it, almost gets really, really frustrated. Eventually leads him to telling Cookie that he's scrapping Stacey Run Run, he's going back to Frida, which, you know, that's who he wanted to work with in the first place. And they were making some really good music that everybody was feeling. You see that throughout the first part of the episode. Jamal goes to Frida, tells her, you know, when they were creating music, it felt like it was for the sake of music and nothing else. It, you know, it was great. Frida doesn't necessarily accept coming back.
I ain't trying to hit that mess.
Right, but basically tells him that she would think on it or whatever. And then, my favorite part of the episode. The part that just had me fall out my bed. Not that I was surprised, but I knew it and I called it and I saw it coming. The episode ends with old pimp named Slickback, Thirsty, walking into a nursing home type situation. Tells the lady at the desk he is just coming in to check on Leo Walker. He hands the lady at the desk an envelope full of money. Says if everything copacetic, great. That's, you know, the lady asked him if he wants to meet, wants to see Miss Walker, and he is no, no. And he glances over and he sees this older lady sitting in a rocking chair, humming that same and humming and singing that same song that she is that Lucius's mother is singing in all those flashbacks he has. Oh, so, you know, they obviously want you to say that Lucius's mother is well and alive. Maybe not well, but alive. I'm very glad, like I told you, I'm very glad they did not put a makeup job on Kelly Rowland. They got Kissy from Roots, and they let it be an old woman, and I'm so happy for that.
Well, me too, because I like Kissy. What's this lady's real name?
You know, if you'd have asked me that 10 minutes ago, I could have told you.
But anyway, I like her character.
Right.
And I'm happy, like you said, they didn't go to the normal couple of people that they always use for old grandmamas or mamas or whatever.
Yeah, like Cicely Tyson. I love her to death, but I'm glad they didn't bring her. And so, for all we know, they probably tried. But it's going to be interesting to see where they take this. Lucius is dirty. Oh, he dirty.
So you can see the influence Dallas had on him. Because that darn JR kind of like loose. Like, JR is doing some dirty stuff. So I can see a Who Killed Lucius episode coming down the pipe if this, you know, if they keep making it and get re-up, whatever you call it when you get the key on. It's going to be a Who Killed Lucius episode because all I was thinking, this is just like some stuff JR used to do to his brother. Be undermining him and doing all kinds of dirty stuff. Back rooms.
Well, that's going to bring us to another break, and I want to just take a quick one because I want to give my co-host time to go grab her. It's not necessarily a soapbox, but I want her to go get her sermon box and get ready to enlighten us with a little bit of The Shack by William P. Young, a little sermon on forgiveness.
So yes, forgiveness, yes.
We'll
yes.
get all to that on the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. I'm going to cede the floor to my co-host.
So we're going to start out with a little fun before we get to the seriousness of it all. So as I was walking, you know, I was thinking about The Shack. And
I'm walking.
If you yes, haven't, indeed. Yes, indeed. If you haven't read the book, The Shack, this would probably be the time. Well, I'm not going to tell everything, but in The Shack, his daughter is either kidnapped or she's killed. and this man, her father is having a difficult time, like, forgiving and moving on, and he goes through this whole journey of forgiveness. And in the book, God is a big black woman, which I was like, that's cool. And the moral of the story is, like, God forgives us for so much. Like, it's nothing that we can do that he won't forgive us for if we ask. So, like, what do you think you couldn't forgive somebody for? And whoever listening, just, you know, you can think out right. know about it. But what? You can't think of anything right off hand.
Oh, you asking me? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir, yes.
Well, as many people that know me well, unfortunately, they know that I can hold a grudge, like, with the best of them. So there's a lot of things, sadly, that I could be very unforgiving about. But I would, just for the purpose of this, I would say if you were to do something toward, you know, bad or you know, seriously hurt a member of my family, that would be something that you would never be forgiven as far as me.
So, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, the people that forgive people for murdering their, like, son, you know, or they kid murder their kid, or it's like, that's very big of you. And maybe at some point, you know, I would be able to get that. But I mean, I don't know, like, you know, if you cheat on me, that's kind of a deal breaker. Like, it's done. I'm not even testing this whole theory. You know, you might be on a... Because it's somewhere in the back of my mind, whether I say I forgive you or not, I'm probably going to be like, you can't account for this time, and I'm asking you all being wishy-washy, were you cheating again? Like, so...
Right.
I'm probably going to just have to move on. Let's rephrase. I might be able to forgive you. I'm not going to forget it. So I might be like, you know what, I forgive you for that, but you need to keep it moving. And so, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that it'll be very difficult for me to forget. And so that's the line. So have you forgiven them if you can't forget? Like, so then that's a line that people probably walk all the time. And you be like, oh, I forgive you, but you still remember it, and you might be apt to bring it up, you know, in certain situations. So did you really forgive them? Because when God forgives us, he throws it into the sea of forgiveness and remembers it no more. So he not only forgives, he forgets it. And right. moves on. So, but to, not to let, we're not going to end on those sad, you know, situations. I have some questions for you.
Okay.
Do you think the Clippers owner will ever be able to forgive his mistress for recording
the former Clippers owner.
Do you think he'll ever be able to forgive his mistress? You hear these words that I'm saying?
I'm gonna say no, and I'm gonna preface it by saying no, because the way that man talked and the things that he said, and taking into account his age, I'm going to say that he's at a point in his life, and, you know, he's made so much money that he probably, like I said, I am, unfortunately, in many situations, I can be very unforgiving. You know, I can hold a grudge.
Right.
I imagine he's type that on a whole nother level of grudge holding can just say, I'm taking this to my grave, and no thank you.
Okay. So, will Tennessee ever forgive Lane Kiffin for the debacle and leaving them here?
Yes, and I will say yes, and preface it by saying yes, because I can't even think of his name. What is the coach there now? Tennessee's coach.
Shoot, I don't know.
Well, if he is able
to get fired with this sex scandal mess, but go ahead.
Right. if he is able to get away with, you know, all that mess going down with the raping allegations.
Sexual assault. Yeah. Not the sex scandal, but the sexual assault.
Yeah. If he's able to get away with, get through that and turn Tennessee into a winner, or even if it isn't him, if the next guy comes in, Tennessee, winning cures everything. Those fans will forget all about Lane Kiffin.
Okay. Will Nick Young forgive Russell for trying to ruin his relationship?
Ain't no trying. Apparently. Apparently him and
I thought they stayed together. I thought she said he had one more time to mess up and it was over.
Well, she a new fool. But anyway.
Will Matt Barnes forgive Fisher for dating his ex-wife?
Matt Barnes seemed like he another one that's on a whole nother level of grudge holding. So no, I'm gonna say no.
What about the Jazz QB and the guy he owed money that broke his jaw?
Oh, I'm gonna say I don't know how his jaw feels today, but I'm gonna say no, he probably wouldn't. But at the same time, I'm gonna guess the IKM Pauly or whatever his name is that broke that young man's jaw. I'm gonna say he got his worth.
Okay. Would the NCAA ever forgive Bush and let him back on campus at USC?
As far as the NCAA, no. But I think USC will. It will at some point.
So did USC put that ban on him? I thought the NCAA told him that he couldn't be running.
I think it more having to do with USC because okay. I think they just wanted to distance themselves from it.
Well, will the Florida Gators ever forgive Muskrat for trying to destroy our brand?
That's not a question for me. That's a question for you.
No. Okay, no. Right along. I'm not going to forget it no matter how much it says. Yes, we won the SEC East this year. I ain't forgetting that message you did. Champ. I'm going to stop calling him Muskrat. Be as respectful as I can.
He's a Gamecock now. You got to be respectful to the Gamecock head coach.
Will the Lakers forgive David Stearns for blocking the CP3 trade?
Again, I'll cede the floor to you on that one.
No, we not. Just so that everybody know, David Stearns somewhere probably playing golf. I ain't forgot, and I don't think none of the Laker fans that's true fans don't ever forget.
You know that. Who he probably playing golf with? Chris Paul.
A mess. Chris Paul is, no, he can't be playing with Chris Paul. Chris getting ready for his next game. Last but not least, with Kelly, we give the network or Strahan for leaving and telling her that he was leaving the show right before they was about to go home.
And T is speaking of Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan. Michael Strahan announced that he is leaving for a full-time gig with Good Morning America. We will find out because she is coming back tomorrow.
But you know what the crazy thing with them is? Apparently from what, and you know you can't believe everything that you read, but right. From what I've read, they haven't liked each other for a while, but they just get on air and do a great acting job because they seem to have such great chemistry.
Yeah, and that's why I believe that this was all I'm a conspiracy theorist from way back. I think this was all a ploy to get them. They're going to have the highest rated show ever tomorrow. They're going to have so many people watching that show because they want to see how they act toward each other.
They're going to still do the same lovey-dovey.
Right. They're going to be in for a disappointment.
I think that a part of it, and I would understand Kelly's position because
right. They
said that, you know, one, why wouldn't you tell me? Like, he's staying on the same network. It ain't like you can hide this from me. At some point, he won't be sitting over there.
Right.
Or he won't be in the reads when we do our readings in the morning or whatever that might look like. And one of the people that I can't remember the author of the article, but they were saying that it's almost like that chair is a training ground for people to go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, you know, they're not moving her up. So what's wrong with her? Like at some point she might have some self-insecurities because it's like, okay, you keep taking people that's co-working with me. You getting them used to, you know, I'm pretty much training them. And then they gone. So, like, I know she feels some kind of way, and I would, too. Because if you told me that, that would be one thing.
Right.
But to just keep doing it and then be so messy as to, like, I can keep a secret. You can just say, all right, this is Strahan's last 6 weeks or months or whatever it's going to be.
I'm sure she's well-versed being a celebrity the way she is. I'm sure she's well-versed in keeping
secrets.
Right.
And she know the business. She know it's a business. But again, she's been there since Regis and Kelly. Why wouldn't she have this info, privy to this information? Like, why would you try to hide this? If they really don't like each other, it's not going to matter. They still going to get on, be smiling, lovey-dovey, and do their job.
Right.
So, anyway, so did we get a no on Kelly? So what we got on her forgiveness meter?
I'm going to say yes, because she going to get a nice new contract and going to get somebody new, brand new in, and she's going to be mad at later on when he leaves. So.
But they talk about, was it the guy from How I Met Your Mother? I can't think. I feel like it was him. Doogie
Howser. Oh, yeah, Lord.
I feel like I was hurt. I could be so out like way out of left field.
That'll make the LGBT community happy.
It was him and somebody else. No, Doogie is a man who had sex with me. Lord, I didn't know he was a MSM.
He's married. Yeah, he's married to a young man.
See how much sexuality mean to me? Nothing. If you don't tell me these things, I don't care who you with. Really.
And Lord, please do not come after me on social media, people. I don't care. My comment was not meant in any way to be malicious toward homosexuality in any way.
Right. It was just, but again, I hadn't even thought about his sexuality and who, you know. When I see people, that's the last thing that I'm thinking of. And I'm a sexual health, like, that's what I do and enjoy doing as a health educator, and I do all the sexual health talks and all. But,
Neil Patrick Harris, I'm sitting here, I kept saying Doogie Howser in my head, and eventually it was going to come to me what his real name was. Yes.
I really feel like they said that, I read that.
I think he would be good, especially, you know, the range that he showed playing his character on How I Met Your Mother. I think he would be great in that position.
So... yeah. So that's all I have for forgiveness. I thought that was kind of funny. Because
yes.
Can you think of one that I might have missed? That somebody in the athletic world? Oh, Larry. Shout out to Larry. He had the one, whoever the guy was that touched that ball in like a World Series game or something.
Oh, Bill Buckner. They done already forgiven him. That. Oh, no. You talking about the Cubs, fan. No. I'm gonna say yes. Yes, because somehow, some way, eventually the Cubs gonna win. They're gonna get it the right, and it might be this year because they got a nice team. When they win a World Series, they're gonna forgive and forget.
Yeah,
it's gonna be interesting. But, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show for today. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with...
T, it is great to be a Florida Gator. Davis, I have tire tracks on my shirt, but I'm going to be all right.
Yes, we hope that you survive the tire trackness that you endured today.
As I was throwing on the bus today, people, it was a sight.
Oh. Well,
that's a
fact. And we will not hear any more on that on air. So, yes. So, anyway, thank you all for listening. This has been the Mac and T Show podcast. See you next time.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We go on to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.